What I want to share about, we're going to do the next 3 weeks here on Sunday, and less mentioned on Tuesday nights, talking about the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do the next 3 weeks here kind of just talking a little more broadly with some broad strokes, you know, on Sunday mornings. And then Tuesday we'll go into it more deeply specifically on things like the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how precisely some of them work and how they operate in our lives. Les has already said that. But I want to start today. I'm going to read from this scripture, and there's three basic ideas that I want to cover about the person of the Holy Spirit. And there they are right there. His wisdom, his words, and his wonders. What I don't want to do is get particularly stuck on the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, meaning, especially if you're a background like mine and like Les's and some of us here, which has either been Pentecostal or charismatic, that can be a tendency to happen. It's just to get focused and too over-focused on one thing or on a part of a thing or a manifestation of some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, rather than what I want to focus on is the person himself of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but when I at first became a Christian and didn't have any religious background or Bible knowledge, some of the terminologies that people used was very confusing to me. And one of them at that time was when people would say the Holy Ghost. And I would think, that's kind of scary and a bit creepy, you know, and I'm like, you know, that sounds good in this microphone. I didn't like that term because in my mind, I had, in previous times when I was younger, I had tried some Ouija boards and seances and stuff like that, and that's ghosts, right? And Dungeons and Dragons and all this stuff. So now, you know, when I shift, I hadn't learned enough to know that word itself creeped me out. And I'm thinking, it was just very difficult to understand. And so sometimes the terminologies, especially in charismatic circles and in Pentecostal circles, which is my heritage as a Christian, have given us a wrong view or a difficult paradigm to handle when we talk about the Holy Spirit. And so I don't want to do that. I want to try over these next 3 weeks, and I'm going to ask you to listen. And if you have some of those words, I might use some of them that are difficult for you and go, oh, what's he talking about? Come and ask questions. Come to the workshop on Tuesday. Because I want us to understand something broader that doesn't just make us feel creepy. And I think that's why we either don't talk about the Holy Spirit or misunderstand him, is because some of it's a little, it's mystical. It's difficult to grab onto because we're talking about the invisible person here of God. And so right away, it's difficult. It has a challenge to us with our very physical, material, Western world. So I don't want us to get stuck on that. I want us to get the broad picture and a deep picture of who he is as a person. That it's not just some floaty, you know, like Casper type thing. But this is God himself, and he's a person. He's he, of course. And that's important also, too, not because it's gender important, but because we don't want to say it. Because that makes the Holy Spirit impersonal. And he is actually very personal, as we'll see over the next 3 weeks. And we look at how much Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and how much the Holy Spirit means to me and you right now as we're living our Christian lives today. How he relates to us very, very intimately, person to person. So I want to state that from the beginning. And the main three things I want to show and try to show this is his wisdom, his words, and his wonders. But they're all just part of him. It's inexhaustible to try to talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, even in 3 weeks. Put these three W's right here just to try to help us. But there's so many things that could be said about him. There's so many ways that you could try to describe him, and you could never do it. Just like you tried to describe God the Father as a Father, or Jesus as a Savior. You don't have enough words. So I wanted to say that right off. And then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 6 to 16. So it's a few verses, but it's important. We, however, everybody get that right? 1 Corinthians 2? Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgment about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So here we have, as you can see in here, there's talk about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the words of the Holy Spirit, the truths, the spiritual truths that he wants to impart to us. And I want to begin by saying here that what's important in this scripture and why I chose it, rather than usually other passages that are chosen when people want to talk about the Holy Spirit, like the day of Pentecost and so on and so forth. But sometimes that's why we get stuck just with one thing. I think this is much broader in describing some of how he wants us to understand him and know him and what his function is in our lives. And I think that what's confusing to a lot of us is this. I've used this quote many times here. There's a quote by Watchman Nee who says that the inability to separate from spirit and soul is fatal to Christian maturity. Let me say that again. The inability to separate between spirit and soul is fatal to Christian maturity. In other words, we get very confused about what is spiritual, that Paul talks about right here in this chapter, and what is from our soul. Let me give you a couple of definitions that will help you. Our soul is the part of our being where we have our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our feelings, our thoughts, and our choice maker. Our spirit is the place where we have communion and intuition with God. Communion and intuition. Now, we talk about, especially men, we'll notice that women, generally, are more intuitive than men, right? When it comes to how people feel, being thoughtful about birthdays, anniversaries, you know, thinking about, you see somebody over there is crying. Women are better at that stuff than men, right? That's something like intuition. But this intuition that comes from our spirit is a much deeper thing that Paul is talking about right here when he talks about spiritual thoughts and spiritual discernments and spiritual knowledge and spiritual words. It's something that comes from our spirit. Our soul sometimes is intuitive in the sense that we feel emotions, that I know what he's thinking, right? That's your soul. I know what so-and-so is thinking. I know what so-and-so is feeling. I know what so-and-so is going to do. And sometimes we confuse that with this much deeper level of spiritual thinking, spiritual feeling that comes from the deepest part in the core of our being where the Holy Spirit dwells with us. And that's what this scripture is talking about right here, this spiritual discerning and knowing. There's a scripture that most of us will know in Hebrews where it says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it divides soul and spirit, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And God is wanting us, in relationship with the Holy Spirit, to become spiritual people, to know the difference when I'm just using my soul, which, by the way, is broken, is wounded, has darkness in it, has death in it, until I come to Christ, and then healing and salvation begins to change all that. So if I depend too strongly on my soul, just my feelings and my emotions and my intuition from that part of my life, I can get it very wrong. And the scriptures are there to guide us and help us. And the Holy Spirit uses the scriptures and himself wants to help us and guide us to have intuition and communion from our spirit, the deepest part of us, that part where God is partnered with us. And it's a difficult thing to learn. But we can learn it. And it's only difficult because we're so used to our soul and our flesh, which we talk a lot about in church, dominating us, right? We're so used to our habits, our laziness, our indulgence, our lack of knowledge, our lack of experience or training. We're so used to that just leading us and taking us where you hear Paul saying things like, the good I want to do, I don't do. The bad I don't want to do, I keep doing it. That's when our flesh and our soul keep leading us. So the Holy Spirit wants to help us to be spiritual, that we can lead our lives from that deep, intuitive communion place with Him. And it begins, of course, when we come to Christ and we come to know Him. And let me give you a definition of what wisdom is, since that's what we're talking about today. Wisdom is basically the application of the knowledge that you have. There's some of you here who I've known quite a while, and I can think of how wise some of you are. Don, I've known for a while. Don, to me, is a man who has a lot of wisdom in the time that I've known him. Application of truth that you know. Here would be a good example of that. There were certain things I knew when I was in high school that if I did them with my money, I'd have more money when I was older. But I didn't do them. So I didn't have it. It's like you don't save, right? Everybody in here knows that you shouldn't get into debt in most circumstances. There's some debt here and there. Okay, that's another subject. But we know that, right? We know that we should save. We all know this when we're young. We get taught a little bit about how compound interest works. Wisdom is those who do it, even when they're young. We lack wisdom when we don't. Now, we still know it. All of us in here know this. And we'll hear it many times on TV, preached in church, you read it in a book. If you don't do it, that means you lack wisdom in that particular area. That's why you'll have some people who can be 18, 19, 20, and we'll say, you have heard this phrase, that guy's wise beyond his years. Or that guy's got a good head on his shoulders. Because it's a difference between immaturity and maturity. It has nothing to do with the number of years you've been on the planet. It has to do with wisdom. It has to do with if you apply the truth that you know. So you can have somebody at 19 years old acting way more mature than somebody who's 60. I have some people in my family who act like they're 15. I've got friends that act like they're 15. I do some things in my life sometimes. I act like I'm 15. Just ask Sari. You know, I was acting like that last week walking around in Panama. It was baking hot outside, and she really wanted to go to this one fish restaurant, which, by the way, the fish restaurant was absolutely awesome. This is how awesome it was. We went home that night. I said to Sari, that chicken was so tender and soft. It was delicious. She said, Jim, it was fish. That's how delicious this restaurant was. I thought that fish was chicken. And I come from an island where we eat fish all the time, right? So anyway, so I acted like I was 15, stomping around Panama, sweating hot because Sari wanted to go to this restaurant again and we couldn't find it. No. Anyway, that's another story. Huh? So wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you have, which can have you being mature at 15, or if you don't apply it, immature at 50. Anybody know anybody who's 50, 60 years old, very immature? Don't raise your hand or point at your spouse. Okay, there's only one man in here who admits it, Eric. So you get the point, right? So wisdom then is having knowledge and applying that knowledge to your life. And so spiritual wisdom is having spiritual knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit and applying it. I would say I've lacked a lot of wisdom in my life. I have fallen into this trap because I studied theology at college and all that. That's a lot of knowledge. A lot of theological, a lot of biblical knowledge that can make you appear to be wise. Because you're talking about godly things, heavenly things, church things, religious things, moral things. You can sound really wise, but it's not. How you apply that is what makes you mature and is what produces spiritual life and spiritual growth in ourselves and in others. And that's the wisdom he's talking about right here when he says it's not the wisdom of the rulers of this age. It's not accumulating knowledge. It's not trying to be religiously well-behaved or well-tuned. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to come into partnership with our spirit and reveal things to us that we never could have known. Reveal things to us about how to take the knowledge that we have and how to apply it. Because we can sometimes assume, and there's religions all over the world that have good moral practices, good religious practices, good liturgical practices, but no wisdom applied to it, nothing from the Holy Spirit in it. And that's why the scripture says that we can have a form of godliness, but no power. Because it's just knowledge, and there isn't spiritual life. There isn't a partnership with Him telling you how to apply that knowledge. That's why we've all heard people get up and use a scripture and it feels like it cuts right through you, and it feels hateful and horrible and judgmental and condemning. And you can hear somebody else use it, and it can feel like life and hope and love in it. Because that's the spiritual wisdom of the Holy Spirit, applying it properly. That comes from something within us when we partner with Him and we let Him guide us. And so the goal of these next 3 weeks would be for all of us to learn the sights and sound of the Holy Spirit. To learn to tune the ears of our spirit and the eyes of our spirit to see what He wants to do, to hear what He wants to do, and how He wants us to apply the knowledge that we have. And for Him to give us new knowledge and show us how we should apply that knowledge, that we would have the spiritual wisdom that Paul is talking about. What's interesting in this scripture also is it quotes something from the Old Testament when it says, "No eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him." And a lot of people use this scripture to say, well, some things we just can't know, and it's just, you know, it's just how it is. So God, but they've missed the next part. It says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. And then he talks about the Spirit searches the deep things of God. He's the only person who knows the deep things of God. And He's the only person who wants to communicate them and reveal them to us. The deep things that God has in His heart for you, for me, for the world. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal it and wants to communicate to us through wisdom, through words, through wonders. Think of it like this. He wants to help us to learn how to think spiritually, how to speak spiritually, and how to show spiritually, how to reveal the kingdom of God, how to think how God thinks in His kingdom, how to speak the things that God speaks in His kingdom. So I'm going to have a little example for us right here. I hope I can get through this because I'm not a technological person, but I think I've got a good example here I'm going to come to in a minute. But before I go into this, it's important to say something that Les had already mentioned. And that is this, that the Holy Spirit, obviously, just by mention of that word spirit, is mystical. He's invisible. But it doesn't mean that we have to be creepy or weird. Les had said that we want to talk about things that are very practical, that are very pragmatic in how we would apply this relationship. Just because the Holy Spirit's invisible and He might speak to Krisha doesn't allow Krisha to impose upon me something I can't really judge. Because if He's speaking to her, we're not meant to take the gifts of the Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit and just impose it upon other people. There's a pragmatism to it. There's a practical way of living for each one of us that's mysterious and mystical and very deeply personal that we don't get to impose upon other people. But they can, of course, impact other people. I want to flip, before I go into this little illustration right here, I want to point something out in John's Gospel, which, by the way, if you want to follow along the next 3 weeks, here's some good reading about the Holy Spirit. It's John chapter 14 through chapter 16. That will really help you. It's Jesus talking a lot about the Holy Spirit and what He does and who He is. And also 1 Corinthians 12 through 1 Corinthians 14. Both of those sections will teach you a lot and help a lot if you read them and if you plan to come on Tuesday, which I hope that you will. So let me read a little bit from John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. In verse 25, he says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." I'm going to flip over now to chapter 16. And he says this. This is Jesus again talking about the Holy Spirit. "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears," and this is very cool, this next part, "and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you." So the Holy Spirit wants to come to teach and to remind us and to reveal things that are yet to come, things that we couldn't possibly know. And it's not about so we have a great platform to look fancy and start predicting stuff. It's for your life. It's to give wisdom to my life, to give wisdom to your life. And here's one other verse in John chapter 14, verse 17. "The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." That's a wonderful promise right there. "For He lives with you and He will be in you." John the Baptist said this when Jesus was coming. He talked about him being the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And then he said, there's one coming who I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you in water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's a something new and something more and something awesome that was coming because of Jesus. It was this immersion in the Holy Spirit that Jesus mentions again right here. He will be in you. So let's go to this illustration, see if I can help connect this a little bit for you. Because the Holy Spirit himself is the person of God on the earth right now. God the Father is in heaven, right? We know that. Where did Jesus go when he ascended from Jerusalem with the disciples in the book of Acts? Heaven. Now, we have figurative language where we talk about Jesus being with us and living in our hearts. But the scripture is clear that his physical body is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So how is God at work on the earth today? It's the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said in those chapters in John, I'm going to send him to you. You will not be an orphan. I'm going to leave. But I'm going to send one who's exactly the same as me, and he'll come to you, and he will be with you, and he will be in you, and you can be immersed in him. So this is a little bit, hopefully I've explained how it can work. Let's just say you're up here on this top screen on the right here. We'll represent ourselves as a computer. And so we all have smartphones or a tablet or a computer. Now, Joey's a computer guy, so I'm going to get some of this wrong, I know. This is a simple, basic idea, all right? It doesn't include everything. So you have your tablet, you have your smartphone, you have your computer, and you come into Main Street Crossing, and you turn it on, and you see the little things up there, and there's a signal. We had this in our hotel last week in Panama. You turn your phone on. First thing you got to do now when you arrive anywhere, right, get an internet connection. So you look. There's a signal. The scripture says that God has set eternity in the hearts of men, and that the Spirit of God has come into the world to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. So all of us are walking around on this world, and we know there's we feel and we sense the signal that God is present, that God is on the earth, that he's near to me somehow in some invisible way. He's doing something. I have an awareness that he's there, but I have a problem with connecting with him. And this is where our simple gospel messages come in. We have an awareness. And then we hear the message of the cross, a password. So if I go to the hotel room or I come to your house, you have a router in your house that's sending that signal all inside that building. But it means nothing to me. I have no access to it until you give me your password. So you give me your password and I type it in. And in our case, the signal, the sense that we have of the presence of God on the earth is the Holy Spirit. And he's pulling us towards Christ. And the message of the cross is the password. It's not a crossing yourself with your fingers or saying a fancy prayer. It's something, of course, happening deeply inside us. But it's the blood of Jesus and his payment for our sin gets me access to the World Wide Web. In this case, the kingdom of heaven. So if Jesus was telling a story, which he's not, it's me, he'd probably start off by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the World Wide Web. So you sense that there's a signal. You can feel it inside you. You know it's there. You can even see it here and there. But it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't impact you, does it? It doesn't have any real bearing on your life. You need a password to get to that router, to get you to the internet. So the password is the cross, the message of the cross, which Paul talked about in the chapter before we read, being foolishness. So we know this message and we accept Christ as our Savior. We accept the blood of Jesus as our rite of passage to get us access to the kingdom of God. So here we are, now we have access. But how does it work in turn if Jesus has gone to heaven? I already mentioned this. The Holy Spirit is sent to the earth to take everything that's in the kingdom of heaven, everything that's available to us, power, gifts, wonders, wisdom, God's words, God's riches, God's treasures. How it's manifest on the earth is through the person of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that routes it from heaven back to us while we're living our day-to-day lives. That's why he's so important and unfortunately overlooked. He's the one doing all the things that stir your heart when you're in worship like today when Stevie's leading. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit prompting you. It's the Holy Spirit questioning you, drawing you, revealing things to you, wanting to make wonderful things known. And he himself is a gift. I think this a lot in the last year. It's been a new thought for me. But I've thought and I've thanked God so much for sending Jesus to the world. And I'll say that prayer. Thank you, Father, that you sent your Son into this world to save me and to cleanse me and wash me. But I would say about in the last year, I've started to realize how equally significant the gift of the Holy Spirit is. That while Jesus has made the way for me to access the kingdom of heaven, I need the Holy Spirit today. I need him every day. And Jesus in this chapter, St. John said, I'm sending him to be with you forever. My presence will be with you forever. What a gift that God Almighty comes from heaven, the Holy Spirit, to live in me, to immerse me in himself, and be with me everywhere that I go, so that if Jesus was here physically, he can only be either in Tomball or in Jerusalem. Right? He can't be everywhere. When he was here on the earth, that's where he was. He was either in Galilee, he was in Nazareth or Capernaum, or he was somewhere. That's why he said, it's better for you that I go, because then I can multiply myself everywhere, all over the world, by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why we can know what we call the presence of Jesus, or the presence of God the Father here in Tomball, and we could feel it while we're in Panama, somewhere else in the world, because God, the Holy Spirit, is all over the world living in each one of us. And he brings and routes from heaven everything that's possible, that Jesus has made possible by being the last Adam and restoring everything Adam got wrong. The Holy Spirit now is the one who brings it back down to the earth, into you, into me, physically. What a gift that that is. So the gifts that we often talk about, speaking in tongues, miracles, healings, they're manifestations of him. Yes, they're gifts, but he himself is the gift. His communion and his intimacy with us is the gift that God has sent to us. And so, now we have access to the kingdom of heaven. Now we are what Jesus said, born of the Spirit. We have new life in us. We are animated. And something of the kingdom of heaven and the joy of heaven is now displayed in us. Look at that. A happy man. That's Les, by the way, in case you can't tell. I want to give you a minute for that to sink in. Les, trying to play guitar? Not trying, just not playing. You did? You played it? Okay, good for you. So the Holy Spirit now animates us. In other words, there's something on the screen. There's something to be seen of the kingdom of heaven in you and in me. And it's the Holy Spirit who changes our lives, who's living his life in us. We're living our life partnered with him. But if we want to really get more, and this is where some of those things in Corinthians come in, some of the gifts and these miraculous things and these supernatural things that happen, what do you have to do? You have to surf the web, right? Because you could come in here, get the password, get to the internet, open a page, a homepage. Let's say my homepage is the BBC. Whatever you think of that, that's another subject. I go there for football. But my homepage is the BBC, and I can stay just on that homepage, right? I can see a manifestation and a display of the World Wide Web on my screen, but it might still not mean that much to me. It's put color on the screen. You could be born again and have some color in your life. You can have a sense of the kingdom of God now within you. But if you really want to find all of the possibilities that's available in that World Wide Web, if you want to find out all of the possibilities of the riches of God's wisdom and his wonders and his words, you have to surf. You have to search. You have to get fully immersed. And this is what John talked about when he said, there's one who comes more powerful than I, and he'll baptize you, which just means immerse. He will immerse you in the Holy Spirit. But again, as we know about God, nothing is forced upon you. You have to get your mouse, wiggle it around a little bit, click some buttons, you know, go to some other pages. There you go. And then before you know it, there's all sorts of silly stuff happening. That's me and Les dressed up as Vikings. In case you didn't notice either. That's Les on the right with the red beard. He wanted to match Grisha's hair. You have to surf. You have to search. And this is where the gifts of Spirit coming that we're going to investigate over the next few weeks is that we want to be submissive to him. That's all that it means to be immersed in him. Just say, I'm going to submit more, and I'm going to submit more, and I'm going to keep submitting, and I'm going to keep submitting, and I'm going to keep yielding to your wisdom, to your words, to your wonders. That's the goal that we want, is for Jesus through the Holy Spirit to manifest all of his kingdom through us. by the person of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, he said, when he uses the Greek word in John right there, it means one the same kind as. So when he says this one is coming who will always be with you and be in you, he's the same kind as Jesus. He says he's the same as me. It's one and the same. So we want his wisdom, his words, and his wonders. And what I want to do is I want us to have a brief prayer just to open our hearts for the next, you know, the workshop and stuff like that, that we would do that. That we'll say a prayer that will say, Lord, I submit. Holy Spirit, I submit to your wisdom, to your words, and to your wonders. And I want you to reveal them to me as you promised you would in this scripture. That my eyes haven't seen up till now certain things. My ears haven't heard certain things up till now. My mind has not perceived certain things up till now. But you want to reveal them to me. And so I'm asking you to do that. And then after that, what I like to do is just pray a prayer for Eric and Leslie. The same thing for them. And their ministry and what they're doing. That the Holy Spirit will give them wisdom and words and wonders through what they're doing following him. Okay, so if you'll do this for me, if you'll close your eyes so we can pray. And just open your hands. Whoever, you don't have to raise them high, or just open them out like a sign of submission to welcome the Lord. Welcome the Holy Spirit. And just pray this in your own words. Holy Spirit, I submit to you, and I welcome your wisdom and your words and your wonders in my life. I want them. Will you reveal them to me in the name of Jesus and for the glory of Jesus? Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for the great gift of your Son, and we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we want to pray for Eric and Leslie. We bless them in the name of Jesus. We bless every part of their lives, spirit, soul, and body. And we pray that they will receive today from the Holy Spirit wisdom and words and wonders. Give them wisdom about how to apply the knowledge you've given them. Give them words from you, supernatural words, prophecies, and direction about their lives and how to minister to people. And Lord, will you perform wonders for them, on their behalf, and through them, on behalf of others, so that you will get all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all y'all.